It came on great, oiled, resilient, striding legs. It towered 30 feet above half of the trees, a great evil god, folding its delicate watchmaker claws close to its oily reptilian chest. Each lower leg was a piston, 1,000 pounds of white bone, sunken thick ropes of muscle, sheathed over in a gleam of pebbled skin like the mail of a terrible warrior. Welcome back to Great Stories About Great Storytellers. My name is Randy Overbeck, and though I am an award-winning author myself, on this podcast, I have the privilege of sharing the intriguing and sometimes weird backstories of famous authors, poets, and directors. The harrowing lines I opened the podcast with, a gifted description of a charging T-Rex dinosaur, were written by the incomparable Ray Bradbury in his short story entitled A Sound of Thunder. You know, the listener recently shared that I hadn't yet featured a fantasy sci-fi storyteller, and so I decided I wanted to remedy that. There's not much better classic representative of that genre than Ray Bradbury. Ray Douglas Bradbury, 1920 to 2012, is considered to be one of the most celebrated 20th and 21st century American writers and, according to the New York Times, was the writer most responsible for bringing modern science fiction into the literary mainstream. Bradbury, though, would not appreciate being pigeonholed in any one genre, as he penned sci-fi, mystery, horror, as well as fantasy works, not to mention plays, screenplays, and essays. He wrote 11 novels, including such well-known titles as The Martian Chronicle, The Illustrated Man, Fahrenheit 451, and Dandelion Wine, all published in the 50s, which have sold millions of copies and continue to sell today. Some of these stories have become part of the Western canon and are studied in high school classes today. But unlike other authors, Bradbury showcased his literary skills in a wide array of ventures. In addition to the novels and a staggering number of short stories, he wrote a screenplay for Herman Melville's Moby Dick, developed his own HBO TV series entitled The Ray Bradbury Theater, adapting many of his short stories for episodes. He also contributed screenplays for other TV series, including The Twilight Zone, Weird Science, and Amazing Stories. He wrote stage plays, which garnered awards, and even adapted his own Dandelion Wine novel for TV and won an Emmy for his efforts. He met with astronauts and contributed to conferences on space travel and even exchanged letters with President John F. Kennedy on the space race. NASA has named an asteroid and a landing area on Mars after him. Not bad. Not surprisingly, Ray Bradbury collected quite a number of awards for his literary contributions, far too many to list here, but here are a few highlights. He won a Pulitzer Citation. As I mentioned, he won an Emmy for his teleplay, Dandelion Wine. President George W. Bush presented him with the National Medal of Arts. The Grandmaster Award from Science Fiction Writers of America he won as well. He also got the National Books Foundation Award for the Medal for Distinguished Contributions to American Letters. He earned the Prometheus Award for Fahrenheit 451, and he also picked up the World Fantasy Award for Lifetime Achievement. Well, you get the picture. As a writer myself, I have to marvel at such wide-ranging accomplishments and can't help but wonder, how did he do it? Ray Bradbury's life and experiences provide a number of lessons for emerging writers like myself. First, Ray always saw himself as a writer. One of his first jobs, at the age of 14 no less, was to write an episode for the George Burns and Gracie Allen radio show, though he says he was never credited with it. Throughout his long life, whatever else he was, a visionary, a social critic, a businessman, an academic, he never lost sight of who he was at heart, a writer. Second, he was devoted to writing every day, keeping an around-the-clock writing schedule which would tire most people out. Despite his fame and success, this habit continued his whole life, even into his 80s, while he dictated in three-hour stretches to one of his daughters who would transcribe his works onto the page. Oh, that's a dedication that all writers could learn from. Even though he developed his own style and vision, he was anxious to learn from other writers and mentors like Robert Heinlein. Today, most writers can't easily befriend successful authors like Janet Ivanovich or Robert Mosley, but we can learn from them at writing conferences. Bradbury worked continuously and tirelessly to revise, improve, and enrich his writing. He reworked his prose to get the most powerful descriptive images and shuffled and reshuffled parts of his novels in search of the most artistically satisfying arrangement. He was known for revamping already published stories to get them even better before he republished them in a collection or in another format. We could certainly learn from that. That is perhaps why his writing style carries such poetic power, as evidenced in that small excerpt I opened this episode with. We can see and feel the charging of the ancient deadly dinosaur. His poetic mastery of the language even comes through in the titles of his works, such as I Sing the Body Electric and Something Wicked This Way Comes. I only wish I could come up with titles with such power. Fifth, he developed his writing from his own life experiences. For example, crafting stories such as Dandelion Wine and Something Wicked This Way Comes in a setting of Greentown, which really was the fictional representation of his hometown of Waukegan, Wisconsin. In other words, he wrote what he knew. Sixth, he was willing to explore alternative avenues to get his writing to readers. Although his early works were published in sci-fi pulp magazines, he kept submitting until his stories began appearing in popular magazines like McCall's, Mademoiselle, New Yorker. His big break came when Playboy magazine ran his novel, Fahrenheit 451, in serial format over three issues. Maybe his tales were what young men meant when they said they only bought Playboy for the stories. Over his extensive career, Bradbury became known for highly imaginative fiction that blends a poetic style, a nostalgia for childhood, and a compelling social criticism with warnings about the hazards of a runaway technology. Not a bad legacy. I came across this commentary from a literary critic and thought it apropos. To dive into Ray Bradbury's work is to experience the complex, wondrous, and often troubling layers of human existence, as well as the possibilities beyond the limit of a small rocky planet called Earth. Another writer you may have heard of shared an equally compelling comment. Without Ray Bradbury, there would be no Stephen King. Of course, with Ray Bradbury exploring such strange and exotic settings, locations, and ideas, it's hardly surprising that the author himself might have a few weird threads about him. In a minute, after a word from this episode's sponsor, I'll pull on those threads and see where they lead.
So what does a nurse with a master's degree and a filmmaker who is kind of out there have in common? Well, we both want to know everything about everything.
Each week, Paul and I talk to some of the most interesting guests, from new and emerging medical practices to some of the most outrageous and unbelievable crimes. All we know is that there is something for everyone.
And you will always learn something on the podcast, Things I Want to Know.
Okay, back to the episode about the great storyteller Ray Bradbury, or at least the strange aspects of this famous writer. For your consideration, Ray Bradbury claimed he could remember his own birth. In fact, the entire traumatic event of his entering the world. He animately maintained he could remember his entire life, starting at birth. Maybe. This aided his remarkable storytelling. Even though Bradbury's writing is replete with futuristic inventions and imaginings, his personal beliefs were something else altogether. He loathed computers, called the internet a waste of time, and even labeled Bill Gates a flim-flam man. Yelch! Bradbury hated cars. I mean, hated them. To the fact of witnessing a fatal car crash as a youth, he never got a driver's license. In fact, he didn't believe anyone should have a car and claimed they killed more people than wars, calling them, quote, the most dangerous weapon in our society. That does raise the question of how he got from place to place. Bradbury played with toys all his life. In fact, his grandkids claimed he had more toys than they did. Toy ray guns, robots, stuffed dinosaurs, oversized stuffed animals, Rocky and Bullwinkle lounging in cushioned chairs, and even a head floating in a glass jar, courtesy of Alfred Hitchcock. His office was said to be a riot of toy activities, toys which he claimed fueled his imaginations and his childlike sense of play and expression. I guess, judging from the tales that imagination spawned, perhaps not that strange an aspect of a storyteller's personality. Finally, one of the things I most respect about Ray Bradbury was his commitment that his writings mean something. Whether he was creating a future world or delving into some fantastical realm, his focus was always on the human message. Unlike his contemporaries Isaac Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke, Bradbury was less interested in how technology would advance the future, but more concerned that technology might get the upper hand and how humans would respond to it. Of course, as a writer, he was concerned with entertaining his readers and making a living, but he also understood his responsibility to use his fiction to convey important truths. My trilogy, The Haunted Shore Mysteries, share much the same objective. Even though my ghost story mysteries offer an interesting puzzle, a captivating romance set in the beautiful settings, they each, like Bradbury's work, offer important social messages. The three narratives tackle such thorny issues as racial injustice, human trafficking, and abuse of migrants. You can find out more about these titles, as well as more episodes of my podcast, at my website, www.authorrandyoverbeck.com. Speaking of the podcast, you won't want to miss the next episode. Well, I will share the unusual backstory of the great American poet, Emily Dickinson. Until next time, keep reading those great stories, and I hope at least one of them is mine.